A welcome to you all on this Good Friday. Today's service will proceed unannounced and with little commentary. You are invited to read out the lines printed in bold in your programs. 6 tenebrae candles will be extinguished during our liturgy, each accompanied by a moment of silence to reflect on the light God gives our lives, and to lament our human sin and error, which dims the perception of God's light on earth. This is a time to recall Jesus and all human life we have loved, and to lament all unjust loss. At the end of our service, you are invited to leave the sanctuary in silence. I invite us to stand as we are able in body or spirit and to join in our call to worship. Into the shadows of chaos, the light of the world steps. From the silence of death, the word of God breaks free. From emptiness and sadness, the bread of life is broken and shared. Surely God is in this place. Help me to notice. We gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we know this is a holy day. It is the day your Son Jesus died on a cross. And we have come here silently in reverence. it is important to us to say that we were here, that we stood present, that we did not turn away from suffering. This is a day and a story that is hard to approach because brokenness and death are still hard to accept in our lives and our world. And so we ask for your strength to be here with us today, O God, that we may come to know that as you were with Jesus then, so you are with us still in our brokenness and the brokenness of the world. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
They answered,
"Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus replied,
"I am he."
Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
And they said,
"Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword back into its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
So the soldiers, their officer, and the temple police arrested Jesus and bound him.
Thank you. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the women who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them and warming himself. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, the cock crowed.
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?"
Pilate replied,
"I am not one of your people, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered,
"My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the temple authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here."
Pilate asked him,
"So, you are a king?"
Jesus answered,
"You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate asked him,
"What is truth?"
After he had said this, he went out to the temple authorities again and told them,
"I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?"
They shouted in reply,
"Not this man, but Barabbas."
Now Barabbas was a rebel.
Thank you.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged, and the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
Pilate went out again and said to them,
"Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him."
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them,
"Here is the man."
When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Well, take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him."
The chief priests answered him,
"We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
Now, when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus,
"Where are you from?"
But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him,
"Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you know that I have the power to release you and power to crucify you?"
Jesus answered him,
"You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the chief priests cried out,
"If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims this to be a king sets himself against the emperor."
When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the people,
"Here is your king."
They cried out,
"Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!"
Pilate asked them,
"Well, shall I crucify your king?"
The people answered,
"We have no king but the emperor."
Then he handed him over to them to be crucified.
As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country. And they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him.
Let us pray. And so even on this day, we can express our heart's longing in prayer. And so we pray to our God of love and hope. Loving God, you are the creator and the ruler of the universe, and yet you chose to appear in Jesus and to suffer and die on the cross. In Christ, you experienced the sorrow and pain of living a human life here on earth. And so we know that when we experience all the hardships of life, you are with us. And when we grieve at the injustices, you cry out with us. When we lose courage in the presence of hopelessness, you, loving God, remind us that you are here with us, even in the nighttime of our fear. O Christ, we mourn with you as we witness the Christ life being crucified even to this day. We see you sacrificed on the high altar of mighty prophet. We see you hanging on a tree of racism. We witness you sleeping on the concrete pavement in our city of affluence. We see you wounded and dying in war-torn countries. Instill in us a sense of hope and courage enough to act with compassion for love and justice. O Holy Spirit, comfort our hearts as they mourn for a world that is not yet what we would like it to be. Nourish those who are hungry for food, for love, for justice. And may your indomitable spirit of life fill our hearts, our bodies, our souls, that by our living we may proclaim with confidence that you are alive and at work in our world. O God, receive our prayers, and trusting in your goodness and your unfailing love for us all, we pray in Jesus' name together, saying, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And will you join with me in this affirmation of faith? Because his witness to love was threatening, those exercising power sought to silence Jesus. He suffered abandonment and betrayal, state-sanctioned torture and execution. He was crucified. But death was not the last word. By becoming flesh in Jesus, God makes all things new. In Jesus' life, teaching, and self-offering, God empowers us to live in love. In Jesus' crucifixion, God bears the sin, grief, and suffering of the world. Amen. Please be seated. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews who read this inscription, because of the place where Jesus was crucified, near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now, the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says. "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thank you.